The date is April 13th, 1990, and we are watching Crazy People. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and while my usual co-host Colin Stewart is away, we've brought in our official substitute co-host. Please welcome the Volvo to my Metamucil.
Hello, I'm Aaron Knowles, and not only will this movie freak you out, it'll fuck you up for life. Also, I cannot tell you how excited I am for today's sponsorship corner.
Yeah. There were a couple. Yeah, it still has not beaten my all-time record that I've had with Fast and the Furious. That one was stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one might be pushing for a second if I were to look back at all the past recordings.
I'm so excited.
Well, this week, yeah, we are continuing on with our March Madness movies, talking about Crazy People. We're looking back at April 1990, when the movies in theaters were The Gods Must Be Crazy 2, Crybaby, Miami Blues, Ernest Goes to Jail, and of course, our movie for today, Crazy People, which earned $13.2 million on a $3.35 million budget. So, technically a hit.
Yeah. All of those movies have like some kind of emotion or something in the title, except for Ernest Goes to Jail, which happens to be a very emotional event. So,
yeah. Well, I thought it was fitting to put The Gods Must Be Crazy 2 as one of the movies that was in theaters. That was one I made sure I chose with March Madness. Madness.
Well, spoiler alert, Pontiac brought me here, and if your movie has to be spoiled, well, at least most of our passengers get there alive. Fly United.
Well, I found five taglines this week. First one, this is the one that I believe was controversial, and I called it last time we spoke at the end of our last episode. Warning, crazy people are coming.
You know, I'm gonna save this. I have a point to make, but I'm gonna save it till after you read all of the, all of the taglines.
Okay. Yeah. Number two, yeah. Inside every normal person, something is waiting to get out.
Aliens.
That's kind of what it sounds like, right? Yeah. Where are the face huggers? Well, number three. I kind of like this one. It's just clever. Winner of 107 Academy Awards. And then there's an asterisk, and the asterisk says, awarded by the Academy of Eternal Optimism.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Number four, a comedy about truth in advertising.
Hmm.
Seems honest to me, right? They're being honest. Yeah, that's what the movie is.
The gist.
Number five, this is where we definitely lean into the crazy people of it all. Caution, you must be in the theater to see this movie.
Well, so saying that, I'm looking at the movie poster for this, and to be honest, as somebody who's dealt with like flyers and posters and advertisements in my career, I can say that this is a terrible movie poster.
Yeah, it's the egg with the arms coming out of it.
Yeah,
and
but it's so
three
small.
Three of these taglines are on there, too.
Yeah, it's so small, and it's like this. It's way too wordy. It's just, I don't know. But at the same time, it's still, it's very reminiscent. Like, once you watch the movie, it's very, very fitting.
Yeah, well, I do have a suggestion for a sixth one that they totally missed.
Mm-hmm.
It will fuck you up for life! I mean, you already brought that one up, but yes, why is that not the tagline of this movie itself?
It should have been.
Well, all of them, except for the one that's really honest, all of them not very good descriptions of what this movie's about, so we'll go to Aaron for a 60-second synopsis.
All right, and stopwatches are go. All right, there's not much to say about Crazy People since that is just what this movie is. It's crazy, but it's about damn time that you watch this movie if you haven't already. Crazy People is about Emery Larson, an ad exec who has a nervous breakdown. His best friend sees that he's struggling in his ad job and checks him into a sanitarium because of some of his ads, which honestly are funny as hell. Some of the worst I've ever seen, like Jaguars for middle-aged men who want to have hand jobs from women they don't know. And more like that. This movie, despite making fun of mental health issues, is a feel-good story about people who are told that they can't contribute to society, but find purpose using their unique personal problems. As usual, there is a hot, quote-unquote hot patient who captures Emery's eye and causes him to get fully invested into this group, especially when their ad ideas take off, just like Emery's do. Add in Emery's boss, who's a complete asshole, who takes credit for all their ideas. Add in some of that genuine friendship into the, you know, comedy movie. A hospital administrator who's in it for the money. And now you have a formula for a heartfelt comedy that teaches a lesson that every dog has its day and every job will drive you crazy. In the end, love conquers all, and it pays to have a brother who flies a military helicopter. Also, don't forget to stay till the end credits.
That's right. Absolutely. I mean, yes, inexplicably hot patient that is there, but, you know, she could have looked like anything if he is a heterosexual man, because
she's the only one.
There weren't any other options. Yeah. So, Crazy People, this is one of those movies. I mean, I believe it's rated R. And it's just one of those movies that I remember it was on Super Channel back in the day. And for some reason, it's just one of these movies that has stuck with me somewhere in the lizard part of my brain. And it wasn't until actually watching it that I'm like, holy shit, yes, I remember this movie. But I, yet on the other hand, because I was so much younger in 1990, I was only 12 years old when I was watching this movie, I did not understand what a hand job was and, you know, things like that. So definitely I caught a lot more of the jokes, but it's just, I don't know why it's just stuck with me all these years. This is a movie that I know Dudley Moore from more than Arthur. I'm more familiar with his work in this than I am with Arthur or the sequel Arthur 2 on the Rocks. Yes, I this is the movie I associate with Dudley Moore out of all the movies that I could, I guess, associate with Dudley Moore. I don't really know enough about his filmography. This is kind of it for me, and I know Arthur as well. But this is it. Yeah. Aaron, what is... Jesus. Each week, you know, I'm just so in the habit of saying Colin that I almost call you Colin like at least once or twice a recording. Aaron, what is your history with Crazy People?
Honestly, like, I don't think I've ever seen this movie. I don't even know if, like, I feel like this is one of those ones that may have just, like, somehow I've seen and maybe slipped into some void in my brain, or I just have never seen it, because it's, honestly, like, I'm sad that I didn't, because I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Dudley Moore, you know, I've seen him in a few things. I think one of the first things I remember was he was in a Santa Claus film.
Santa Claus the movie?
Yeah. And then the other thing that's kind of weird, and I just actually recently learned about the dark history of The Adventures of Milo and Otis. So he did the voice to Adventures of Milo and Otis. And if you don't know the background
of
that
movie. Oh, he's the narrator, isn't he? Yeah, okay.
If you don't know the background of that film, do not look it up. It will ruin your childhood.
Okay.
But... yeah,
I'd be better off looking up Lemon Party. Is that what you're saying? Don't look that up either.
Lemon Party?
Oh, don't. Don't do it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Sorry.
But yeah. Yeah, I've seen Daryl Hannah in quite a few things. I mean, honestly, I loved the cast. I mean, I know we'll get into more of the movie, but yeah, I didn't have any recollection of this movie in the past, and I'm a little bit sad now. I mean, I'm happy that I finally got to see it, so thank you for bringing this one up. This was your choice, and I really enjoyed
it. I'm glad. Yeah, for me, it's just, it was flashes until I actually saw the movie. Like, for some reason, a couple of the slogans stuck in my head all these years, and, you know, just certain moments of this movie. But here we go. Let's jump into Crazy People, directed by
such a good time.
Tom Brill. I can't wait. Barry L. Young, who, there's two directors. He gets, quote, additional director as his credit. So I don't know exactly what the story was there. I think there was a director replacement on this movie. Produced by Thomas Barad and written by Mitch Markowitz, who is a writer from MASH and Good Morning Vietnam. So he picks projects where there's a lot of improvisation going on. That's how it's easier to be a writer in Hollywood, folks. Mm-hmm. Just make up this shit. Yeah. So I read that this movie, and I can't wait to get into this, but it was originally supposed to star John Malkovich and Michelle Pfeiffer.
What?
Who were... You want another what? This one's going to blow your fucking mind hole. They were dating at the time.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely speechless.
So John Malkovich walked off set due to personal problems, quote unquote. I mean, AKA he's John Malkovich. And
yeah,
that's just kind of the aura. That's the energy I get from John Malkovich.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He gives that, like, I don't need this job.
No.
Vibes.
Yeah. Even in 1990, when at that point, wasn't his only credit to fame like making Mr. Right, which is basically like the male version of Mannequin or Weird Science? Like, I don't know how celebrated of an actor John Malkovich was at that time.
No.
I mean, the first thing I know him from is In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood, where he was the villain.
I mean, going back, I'm trying to think about what I remember him in, and honestly, like, nothing really before being John Malkovich.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's such an odd looking.
And at that point, he was already kind of a parody of himself, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm going back. I'm using the time machine. I'm going back. Dangerous Liaisons, Santa Bear's High Flying Adventure, The Glass Menagerie, Making Mr. Right in 1987.
he just took that Making Mr. Right ego and just walked right off the set of this movie.
Yeah.
I know. I was Mr. Right. I'm too good for crazy people. Well, okay, we're already talking people, so let's just do this. Let's talk cast list.
All right. Well, the cast list, I mean, Dudley Moore, obviously, we've already talked about him. Mm-hmm. You know, Santa Claus, been around Hollywood, or had been around Hollywood for quite a while before that. He plays Emery Leeson, our crazy ad executive, anybody that's not stressed in advertising is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you're normal if you're not stressed in advertising, because everything you have to create is literally... like make or break your career. So
Yeah, you're always auditioning, basically.
Yeah. Daryl Hannah, who, like, I mean, oddly enough, like, she, I don't know, this to me, not again, not to like base anybody's value on their looks, but I honestly say this is probably the role where I think she was like the most attractive I've seen her in.
Over Splash.
Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Daryl Hannah played Kathy Burgess.
I think it's Burgess. It's a soft G. Yeah.
And I mean, if you don't know, she was in Wall Street. She was in Kill Bill. She was she wanted to be Black Mamba or something. I'm trying to remember what she was. Like, she was like Water
Moccasin. Black Mamba. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the one with the eye patch.
Yeah, she had the eye patch. Yeah. She was the nurse. she's been in a ton of stuff. She's been around for so long. Blind Revenge, Devil's Playground, Shark Swarm, Kung Fu Killer, just crazy history over
Did
Hollywood.
Did you say Shark Swarm?
Yeah, yeah. Not okay. Sharknado.
No.
Shark Swarm.
Okay. Is this a ripoff of Sharknado?
I'm going to go with probably.
probably. Okay.
Paul Reiser. Universes.
This is the DC and Marvel situation. Yeah.
Sharknado versus Shark Swarm. What is it? RoboCroc versus Mutant Shark. You got Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser. God, that guy's been in
bringing his alien energy into this movie, right?
Everything.
Like, doesn't he have that same attitude that he has in Aliens right
here?
He
does.
Like, yeah, a little bit. But I mean, I was a big mad about you watcher. So
absolutely.
I read Parenthood and Couplehood. I was a big Paul Reiser fan for a while, and then not so much. But now he's like showing up in dramas and shit.
Yeah, he's gotten. He's one of the, like, he was very comedy heavy, but he can definitely do like serious roles. Like, I mean, I loved him in Beverly Hills Cop. That's where I kind of picked him up, was Beverly Hills Cop, because my dad was a huge, obviously, Beverly Hills Cop fan. I say obviously, like, because my dad's black, he loved Beverly Hills Cop, which is not wrong.
Uh-huh. But no, obviously, because it's fucking Beverly Hills Cop.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, my dad's white, and he loves Beverly Hills Cop. So
I'm glad we can be real about that.
Yeah.
He was also in The Boys, by the way. I just wanted to point that out.
I mean, how much are you looking forward to Beverly Hills Cop 4?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. I feel like I missed Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah, like that Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Like, I've had enough Clumps Eddie Murphy and Norbit Eddie Murphy and Pluto Nash Eddie Murphy, even Haunted Mansion Eddie Murphy. I mean, sure, I like Haunted Mansion. That's kind of his last good movie for a while, but I could go
on a rant about Haunted Mansion, but I won't do it. We'll just jump to the next guy, JT Walsh.
Well, see, that's also a one that's been a long time for me, so I mean, I just may not remember Haunted Mansion. So anyway,
no, you're good. I'm just gonna say this: for some reason, in the Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, when it needed to be so, all of a sudden, like, Eddie Murphy and his entire family become like this super athletic, like almost Olympic team of like doing like runs and flips and like decathlon level intelligence, like super IQ, where they're solving like Latin puzzles. They're like jumping and running through like flames and knives and swords. And just, I don't know. I felt like it was just like a very, I don't know.
You never done an escape room, Aaron? Come on.
I mean, that's how
families always come together in escape rooms.
I guess. However, I did really like the new Haunted Mansion, by the way.
Which I haven't seen, but how can you not like anything with Danny DeVito?
Exactly. Was it Rum Ham?
That's the secret sauce.
JT Walsh, who we see, who plays like the asshole in just about everything he touches.
Probably, yeah.
I'm trying to remember. He's like one of those guys that I've seen him in a ton of stuff, but I can't exactly remember it all. But like, I know he was in like the X-Files. He was a bad guy in that. Outbreak, Lois and Clark, you know, the New Adventures of Superman. He was in that. I think he was like a bad colonel, like military, probably trying to kill and capture Superman.
Yeah.
The Client.
He's just got that face.
Blue chips. He's that guy that I feel like is just in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you need a character actor that looks like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go, JT Walsh.
Prove me wrong. Somebody, you know, like message Sean and tell him a role that JT Walsh has been a good guy in. That's all I ask. Bill, I forgive me if I mispronounce Smitrovich.
I'd say Smitrovich.
Smitrovich. He's been in a lot. I mean, he, again, another face that you recognize. David Paymer, Danton Stone, Paul Bates, Dick Cusack.
Paul Bates, man.
Yeah.
You want to talk Eddie Murphy? Coming to America. She's your queen
to be. I got to say, like, going over this cast list, like, I know we're not done yet, but like going over this cast list, I have to say that this was one of the best, like, out of no, like, I don't know, maybe this was like one that was like a highly anticipated film that was like, you know, coming out in 1990 because of the cast. But like, looking at this cast, if back in 1990, if I were a person who were like well aware of like the stars of that day, I would have been so excited for this movie. This is, to me, a star-studded cast.
Yeah.
From the
90s. You know what this is? This is Billy Bean just looking at statistics and putting things together, this is the plot of Moneyball to put this movie together.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as John Malkovich left, they're like, wait, hold on. We just need to get the right pieces in place. Doesn't matter if that pitcher has a really weird throw. It's all going to work. It's mm-hmm. all going to work. And it does.
It does.
Yeah.
What's I left off? So Dick Cusack, Doug Yasuda. So Doug Yasuda, I feel like he's one of those guys that looks like he's been in a ton of stuff. And it's because he has, but little roles.
Yeah.
Like orchestra member or reporter.
I feel like a lot of them are token Asian. You know, it's that's kind of how it feels, is that
pharmacist.
He's probably one of the 80s Asian actors you go to. You want a bad guy, you go to Al Leong. You want someone that, you know, is a little friendlier looking, well, maybe you go to this guy.
Yeah, they definitely did, you know, I could see where, like, they're like, oh, you know, we need to have, like, more of a diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, let's get the guy, Paul Bates. Let's get Paul Bates. Let's get Doug Yasuda. Anybody else? No, we're good there.
You know, like, it down.
Lock it down. That's good. You know. But I mean, I don't think I'm not going to go too much more into the cast. But the main cast that we see mostly the patients.
Yeah.
Unless you have any backups that you want to get
of
into.
Of course, the doctor, Mercedes Rule, as Dr. Liz Baylor. I mean, I know her as the mom in Big. That's one of the big things. I mean, Academy Award winner.
Yes.
Mercedes Rule.
She was the one I was saving because I wanted to look up. She was in something else also that... I'm looking. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, shout out to Larry King for making an appearance as himself in this movie, I guess.
Last Action Hero. That's who she was. She was the mom in Last Action Hero. That's what I wanted.
Last Action Hero.
Yes. Yep.
She sure is. Yeah.
And there might have been one more. I feel like there was, but there was, Big, like you said, The Secret of My Success. Married to the Mom, Married to the Mob, Lost in Yonkers. Like, there's quite a few that she was in. Like, she was definitely a standout cast member as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, like I said, this was, like, it was, I think, like, really well done as far as the cast being brought together in this, because it was, like, a lot of interesting people that you don't necessarily see, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But recognizable. And that's what keeps this movie, like, I think, you know, one thing that's like, I can say, hey, I enjoyed watching this now because I enjoyed seeing these, like, random people in movies from my childhood put together.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of my first thoughts, I mean, we open this movie up with, like, our big establishing shot of the New York skyline and end up seeing Paul Reiser. And my first thought was, holy shit, Paul Reiser's in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I never would have made that connection with, you know, my childhood self seeing this movie. Yeah, I never knew who Paul Reiser was back then, that's for sure. But, you know, and then... seeing Dudley Moore on the bridge freaking out over traffic. I mean, you've recently moved to the New York area. Is it that bad?
It's not that bad. There's a couple of things that I can't wait to say about that, because it's the traffic is bad in some spots, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just say it right now. There is one of the ad things that they come up with says, come to New York. There are fewer murders last year.
Yep.
I saw that. And I just like, that's the thing about this movie. There's so many just like like from the beginning, there's these random, like taglines on these ad campaigns that are just so fucking funny.
Yeah. What wasn't there another one about like, it smells less like urine now or something too? Wasn't that one of the New York ads? Might have been. I don't
maybe
know.
I
don't.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I'm just making that up, but I could have sworn that there was one about urine. Yeah.
You know what? Real quick, before we move on too far, I got to ask this. Did their assistant not look super familiar? And I'm trying to remember who he was. And I couldn't. I can't see his face anywhere on this, but it was basically, I'll have to look it up, but like, I didn't catch his name.
Yeah, I know I scrolled through the list and all the way to the bottom just to see if there were any names that jumped out at me, and there weren't anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't anything where it's like, holy shit, Jay Moore's in this movie? Or just like something random like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, as far as the you know, we got the cast down. Let's talk the plot of the movie. Now, when I saw this movie, like, I think when I read, I guess, the summary of this film, I thought it was going to be completely different. I thought they were just, like, they were running out of ideas, and they went to a funny farm, like a mental health institution, in order to, like, work with mental health patients to get, you know, ideas like flowing and get some campaigns.
That may be partially my fault though, because that's how I remembered the movie, was that they needed inspiration. I forgot that he was committed. And so I may have actually put a little bit of a lens on it when I was describing the plot to you previously.
Got it.
So no, I could take the blame for some of that.
No, there's no blame needed, Fred. No blame needed. No guilt needs to be held, okay?
Oh, was definitely not going to lose any sleep over it. I was okay, just good. Stating the fact, like, yeah.
I don't care. I'll just tell you. I admit to it. Was I wrong? No. Did I do wrong? Yes.
Yeah.
But Emery Leeson, who's the ad exec, he's like, we see, like you said, this movie opens up on, like, New York. We see traffic. We see Emery Leeson, you know,
stuck in traffic,
and he's like getting out of his car. Very, may I say, very Bill Murray from Stripes, you know, yes. who pulls his car over on a New York bridge and tosses his keys. But we see Emery Leeson. He doesn't do that. He's just yelling at other drivers while on this bridge, who are also stuck in traffic. So is it?
I would have liked to have seen everybody get out of the car, though, and everybody hurts.
like a flash
mob. Sometimes. No. REM. Don't you remember the?
No,
REM,
I love that everybody song. Yeah.
Yeah, but the video was everybody just stops their car and gets out and starts.
Oh yeah.
Walking instead. Yeah, I mean, he has a good point. If everyone were to just move, there'd be no traffic.
It's true.
Common sense, people. True. Come on.
It actually occurs later on again where now, mind you, our phones are we don't have car phones anymore.
Yes.
Okay. We don't have car phones anymore, and
I like the data tech though.
I guess they are sometimes plugged into our car, but we're not talking on them in our we have hands-free laws now, okay? But at one point, he sees somebody in the car next to him. He sees them talking on the phone. He gets out of his car. He reaches in the car, takes the phone, rips it out. It's clearly not even attached to something. Wraps the cable around the earpiece and then tosses it. Would you not get out of the car and beat somebody's ass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially since Dudley Moore seems to be a slight and little gentleman. Yeah. You know, he even makes the comment at one point, I would pay Dudley Moore at like 5'5", 5'6",
yes,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's so, definitely... Sorry, I made me think of another ad campaign that's in the movie.
Well, you know, I might as well just get to it now because we're going to keep talking about these ad campaigns. So I'll get sponsorship corner out of the way first.
Okay, do it. Yeah, because we're going to talk about too many. You got to do it now.
Yeah, time for sponsorship corner. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies this week. Yes, Crazy People, brought to you by just about everything. Camel, Marlboro, Magna, and Amalfi Super Slims cigarettes. Volvo, BMW, Jaguar, Cadillac, and Saab vehicles. Coca-Cola and Mountain Dew. The movies Loose Cannons, Tremors, and the fictional The Freak. Metamucil, Panasonic, and Sony Electronics, Olympus Cameras, Yes Clothing, Bonjour Fashions, Harris Machinery, United Airlines, Quaker Oats, Polo, AT&T, Bayer Aspirin, and Ban Roll-On Deodorant, plus the possibly fictional global news delivery, Vitaflex, John Hancock Funeral Services, Continental Express, East Side Cab Company, Advertising Age Magazine, Drucker Advertising, and Bennington Sanitarium. And a few that were name-dropped. I was keeping track of this one special because there were a few that were name-dropped and ended up being shown, but there were a few that were name-dropped and never actually shown. And mm-hmm. that is Porsche, Chrysler, and Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones are never actually shown any symbols of. So there we go. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
Okay, I'm going to throw some of my favorite lines from
Let's
this movie
do it.
Out there. Okay.
Yeah.
So at one point they're in therapy and the therapist goes, somebody name something you want. And the guy raises his hands and he goes, I want a blowjob and a Thunderbird.
Yep.
At one point they're like, who here wants to be an ad man? And a couple of like raise their hand. And then,
who wants to be a fire truck?
A fire engine. They all raise their hand. The other one was, don't come to the Bahamas. Come in the Bahamas.
Come in the Bahamas. Yeah, one of those references that I definitely wouldn't have gotten as a kid. Yeah.
Oh my God. Come to New York. There were fewer murders last year. And then the one, you know, about Emery, about him being short is Sony, because Caucasians are just too damn tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, United Airlines, most of our passengers get there alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any real life, honest ad campaigns out there that you like? Like, I'll give you an example. In Canada, we have a product called Buckley's. It's a medicine. And I don't think it's available in the States. But yeah, it's Buckley's cough medicine. And the ad campaign for it is, it tastes awful, but it works. And that's the truth. Is it really tastes like a combination of melted down vapor rub, diesel fuel, and like just, you know, the worst grape medicine you've ever had. Like, it's just, it's terrible. But my God, your cough clears up, right? You know, so that's, it's honest, but it's true. Like, it tastes awful, but it works, you know. Or Frank's Red Hot, I put that shit on everything. I know there was a time in my life when that was true.
Yeah, I love that one. When I went through college for my communications degree, one of the papers that a couple of papers actually I wrote were on failed ad campaigns.
Okay.
And so some of my most favorite ad campaigns are just like they're the failed ones. And so like one that I really love was there was actually an American and like there was a Japanese version that were both like removed from the air almost immediately. And they were both actually like one was a washing machine, like a clothes detergent, where it was like this Asian woman is doing laundry and her black boyfriend comes in and she like puts in the powder into the and then she
I've seen this
and
one.
She throws him into the washer, her black boyfriend in the washer, and he comes out and he's now Asian again.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where it's like,
oh, so bad.
This woman, it's the like American kind of, not version of it, but like the American kind of version of it was this woman, this white woman is in her washroom and she's putting in like this black dye. She pours it into the dryer with her like white, I think she puts clothes in. She takes the black dye. She pours it in there. Her husband walks in. She takes him, dumps him in there and then pulls him out. And she's like, he's like this big, strong black guy now.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
So some of my favorite ad campaigns will always be like the failed ones, and I've seen some fucking horrible ones. And I want to say one of the worst ones was H&M did it was a hoodie, and it was a hoodie, and it said it read on the shirt it said coolest monkey in the jungle, and they decided to use a black model.
Of course they did. Yeah.
For that hoodie. And so it was almost removed. It was removed pretty fucking quickly. But like, I love failed ad campaigns because it's so interesting as a communicator. It's so interesting to see people like like that people approved terrible ad campaigns, like some of the shit we see in this, because this movie's like I would,
like
I
the
would
Dune bucket,
yes, like the Dune bucket, yes. I would love if I ever became like a teacher of like communications, I would make them watch this movie because it would be funny just for them to see like sometimes you're gonna see the worst ad campaigns and they're gonna take off, and then sometimes people are gonna see them for what they really fucking are, terrible, like the Dune bucket, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, our guy here, our man gets a writer's block and he can't write ads anymore. So he says, fuck it. I'm just going to get honest with it.
Yes. And that's the, yeah, it's the greatest thing, is because he just like, you're not necessarily supposed to be honest. Obviously, it's like, oh, this cheeseburger looks like shit, but it tastes amazing, you know, but who's gonna buy it if you tell them and it looks like shit, you know? Which we all know it looks like. It's that's what this whole thing is built upon. Like the Jaguar.
And I love all the tear off pads that happen in, yes, I want to go to the bathroom. Yes, I want a hand job. Like I love the tear, like the sight gag of the tear off you know, pads on those are great, yeah. Quaker Oats. Who knows what's in it?
What it tastes like, but the box is cute.
But the box is cute. Yeah, the Volvo, it's boxy, but it's safe, is how I always remembered it. But it's actually Volvo, it's boxy, but they're good. Yeah, so I always remembered that one wrong. So one of the things I actually did remember about this movie, I've been misquoting for years.
Yeah,
so,
Mandela effect, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, and so Emery goes to the, you know, he gets checked in after he has the nervous breakdown, or at least you know, his buddy,
his road rage incident, and
his road rage, his friend,
his honest ads, oh, he's insane, he's being honest.
His buddy Paul Reiser, as Stephen Bachman, takes him home and sees that his wife has left him, or what'd she do? She went to the cleaners and took everything with her.
Yeah.
So he takes him to the insane asylum, where he checks in, and
the sanitarium,
and he checks in, and he meets you know, Dr. Liz Baylor, and he meets the vulnerable Kathy Burgess,
and our love story starts.
Yes. Do we ever find out? Because like I don't remember if they're actually saying what she was there for.
I think she just started getting nervous about everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like she has anxiety.
Yeah. That's true. That's basically what it is. And so there you go. I mean, this movie not only making her desirable and the only female for this love interest, but they're also making her like the most manageable of all mental health compared to some of the other ones that like you know, when they started playing volleyball together with no volleyball, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. But then we find out that, no, they actually legitimately know there's no ball. They just have fun with it, right? Yeah. I still don't understand why we can't give these patients a ball, or what it is about this game. Or
the ball's
does
dangerous.
One of them see the ball? I mean, and they just humor that one person. I don't know. Like, should I feel good after this? It's all team building.
That's the thing about this movie, is there's not really... There is no plan here. There's no plan. You have a bunch of people with, I would say, a range from very serious, well, not very serious, but mildly serious issues, conundrums, not problems, to like very, very, very mild, like anxiety. And the only thing they're doing is cohabitating without any guards or anybody watching them, and going to group therapy together. Like, there's nothing being done here. Like, this isn't even a sanitarium. This is a daycare camp.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of structure. Yeah. Kind of seems to be a bit of a free-for-all.
Hence the... Oh, but they do take one art class.
Yeah, the art therapy class, which they all hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I don't know about you, but art therapy looked fucking fun. There were so many different options in there.
Yeah, they weren't even all doing the same project.
No, it wasn't even like they all had to paint the same bowl of fruit or something like that. Yeah, they... No, this guy's over here playing with bubbles. I mean, fuck.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Hello. I liked the arc of that character. Yeah. I liked how well David Paymer? I think it's Paymer. I really like how well he played that character. I mean, that was a very endearing character to me and became one of my favorites, I think.
Same with not Sobs. Was it? Oh, great.
There was Bruce, Judge, Robles, Mort, Sue.
Was it Paul Bates? Was it Paul Bates? Yeah, Paul Bates. So he played, Robles. He started off with a Latin accent and then lost that real quick.
Mm-hmm. Was that a character choice?
I don't really know. It was like how he introduced himself. He had like a Latin accent, and then for the rest of the movie, he was just Robles.
Okay.
he was just there. You know, he was fine. He just had headphones on and wore a bathrobe. Honestly, if that's what classifies you as crazy is wearing a bathrobe and headphones all the time, sign me up. You know, because I'm there.
I'm wearing a bathrobe right now.
Yeah. And headphones.
Fuck. I guess you need to commit me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got Emery. He's now committed. You know, he's taking group therapy, and come to find out, back in the real world, his ad campaigns have accidentally gotten printed through a mix-up, and his ad campaigns are taking off. Metamucil's flying off the shelf. People are buying Jaguars.
Oh yeah.
What else?
Man, wish I had stock in Metamucil.
Yeah.
Fuck.
People are you know wanting to lose weight and get a free plant. Ask them if they have ficuses.
Does this look like you? Everything's working. And everyone is going to the movie, The Freak, because of the tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it cost? $20. And it'll fuck you up for life. The lady screaming it out of the ticket window is what got me on that one. I was just like, what the fuck? So just before those ad campaigns went crazy, Paul Reiser's character, again, Steven Bachman, was fired by J.T. Walsh's character, Drucker, because of the honest ads being printed in the magazines and newspapers everywhere.
He verbally signed off on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he had to. Shit has to roll downhill.
Yeah. And so now Drucker has called Bachman back into his office, and he said, if you want your job back, go get Leeson. Get him back here. Get Emery and bring him back. Well, he's in the hospital. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because we need an extra conflict in the movie, though. You know, we need to make sure that there's extra layers to sabotaging this situation that he's got going on.
There's now we're like, I feel like they're like, okay, I feel like yes, they needed an additional layer, but then they just kept adding them.
I know, right? Like that mustache twirling villain just kept twirling and twirling and twirling. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was always, okay, let's get them on shitty contracts. Let's try to buy them off with pens. Yeah.
And then also the one that can leave, we're not going to let her leave because she keeps the group together.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor, the hospital administrator, he's on the take.
I know, right? Like we got a dirty administrator.
Dirty administrator. That sounds like a plot to a porn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen that one actually. there was a black couch.
Wow. Wow.
yeah. Porsche. It's too little to get laid in, but you will get laid the moment you get out. That was a good tagline.
That was good. That was really well done.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I'll say this. From what I expected this movie to be, one of the best things besides the cast was the dialogue. It was really well done.
That's true, yeah. Okay, I'm going to run down some Caucasians today. Yeah, I just don't know how I feel about the love story. I don't know how fully necessary the love story was, right?
Not at all.
It's just, yeah.
Well, imagine this. Imagine if you had taken Daryl Hannah out of this movie. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
You could have Mighty Ducked it, you know?
Could have Mighty Ducked it?
Yeah, yeah. You take the guy who knows his shit, you introduce him into a group of, like, you know,
ragtag
group, and he gives them purpose. He teaches them to be like a team.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been fine. You didn't need a love story.
Well, but the Mighty Ducks did have a love story. He was banging Charlie's mom.
True. But you could have taken that out and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I mean, make it a product of today and he would have been banging, the one kid's dad.
Yeah.
You know? And then it would have been a more modern story.
I mean, I'm not saying either that I don't like the character. I do enjoy Daryl Hannah in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't have to be a love story, or maybe, you know, throw in an extra chick or two, so that she's not the, you know, just such a sausage fest in this movie. Give us a couple more girls.
True.
We got her and the doctor, or is that intentional so that she has this extra kinship with the doctor? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know about that. I like I said. I mean, they probably should have. Okay. Let me ask you this. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't remember anybody else in this hospital other than the few people that we saw. Were there other patients?
Other background actors? Yes?
And if so, why weren't they in therapy?
Well, they had a different doctor, I guess. I don't know. Maybe these were the milder cases, established. Yeah, you have the one guy who is, you know, has become mute and only says hello. We have, I don't even know what everyone else's problems are.
Exactly.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the hello guy and I know, you know, obviously.
Sob.
Yeah, Sob. But so he's got an obsession.
I mean, I'm almost as bad as Sob. Every time I hear the word Sob, I think if it's sad, it's a Sob story. And I have to make that joke, either internally or externally. So I could be considered crazy, I guess. But yes, that's another cool... let's just agree that this hospital has a lot to be desired. It probably does not rate 4 to 5 stars on Google reviews.
No, probably not, no. No, it may be pretty low on the list of like actual medical institutions in the United States. I think it is a poorly run hospital.
Yeah. Except that they have a great driver's ed program.
Yeah. Yeah, the only sanitarium that I know that's like worse run is Arkham Asylum. So
yes. or the one where it was Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. Had been.
Yes.
But yes, Arkham Asylum is probably the next one down on the list. Man. So yeah, now let's see. Where are we at in the movie? The ad campaigns are going well. They get in touch with Emery and they say, hey, like, you know, you're there, like you need more time there. Use what you can around you. And he enlists the help of his therapy group friends to start coming up with some ad campaigns. And like you said, they're picked up, they're well received, they try and pay them off in pens, and luckily Emery is the least crazy one.
Yeah.
Which one would argue that he might be the most dangerous.
Yeah. Well, how silver-tongued is he that he has managed to like recruit himself an army? He established himself as like the alpha in that hospital pretty quickly. I mean, Yeah, that's what you do in prison if you want to be the big dog, is you come in and take over pretty quickly and establish your little group, your inner circle. Yeah.
So the sequel is probably the government hiring him for some special espionage project because he has this innate ability to take the lead in situations. So he just sends them to, the government sends him to different sanitariums around the world, and he creates an army of inpatient.
Well, we don't know what Kathy's brother's job in the military actually is.
How did he get in touch with him?
Yeah.
There's a lot of plot holes. Let's just agree on that.
Yeah. If you could write an honest advertising campaign, what would you write? Taco Bell, you're guaranteed diarrhea, but goddamn, I love a chalupa.
Taco Bell, your Baja is not the only thing that's going to be blasting.
Axe body spray so that even blind people who can't see your affliction shirt know you're a douchebag.
Infinity. I guarantee you drive like a douchebag.
Trojan condom, sure, it doesn't feel as good, but society doesn't want you to reproduce either.
There you go. There you go. Magnum, because you think you'll fit.
But you'll be back buying the other size. Oh, here it is. Konami. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left,
yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
EA Sports, because we can't get enough of your money, and you're never going to get enough of that game.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Blizzard. Fuck you. That's why.
Oh, I thought you were like Dairy Queen Blizzard.
No. Activision Blizzard. Because
we're gonna turn, see, for me it's Dairy Queen Blizzard. We're gonna turn it upside down for some reason.
Yeah.
Don't ask why. It's just what we do.
Fleshlight. Wash me.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah, see, it's not easy, or it is easy as if you're going to be honest about it.
Yeah, I think that's just because we're crazy. We're borderline crazy, you and I.
Yeah, yeah, well.
I think it's easy for us, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have a filter.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. No, come to New York, it's not as filthy as you think. I did write it down.
Oh.
So, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I did make up the urine smell. But yes, it's not as filthy as you think was one of the New York advertising campaigns. Yeah.
I think that campaign is over because it is as filthy as you think it is.
Well, I was going to ask. Yes.
I literally, my favorite thing that I've bought recently at a convention was last year at New York Comic Con. Their main, shirt design was Pizza Rat.
Oh, okay.
So.
That was this year?
That was the last year at 2023. Okay. So.
Still?
Yeah.
Didn't Pizza Rat, wasn't that a thing in, 2015 or something like that?
Maybe, but I saw the shirt. It's this very, I'll take a picture and send it to you. It's the best, sketchiest Pizza Rat I've ever seen, and I love it. It's my favorite shirt.
Yeah, okay. So the evil guy, let's get back to the evil guy, because ultimately the whole plot hinges on him. Like everything.
Wait, which evil guy?
Well, JT, what's his face, right?
JT Walsh, Drucker.
Yeah, because Drucker, of course, not only does he try to pay them off with cars and everything like that and manipulate contracts and everything like that, but he goes on TV and he takes credit for all this fucking truth in advertising bullshit. And so that gets the workers uprising.
Oh, yeah.
And gets people fired and get that's the center of this story right here is Drucker going on TV and taking credit. Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah. The work is done by the subordinates and not mm-hmm. by and what the thing that's also kind of fucked up about this is, like, it's a terrible strategy by Drucker, because clearly he didn't even make the designs, and there's a paper trail for Emery having created these, like, weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he would never have gotten away with it. I'm just saying, plot hole, but you know, still, there are ways to prove that he didn't come up this years ago in a, you know, with his college friends, as he
Emery
says.
Should have mailed it to himself, yeah, you know?
Exactly. It's not like Flynn's arcade games where there's on some hard drive at you know, at NTech, you know, or NCOM, excuse me. You know, they're not hidden behind a firewall and a master control program.
It only took two episodes with you back to get
a Tron reference.
A Tron reference.
Well, they finally—I mean—they do stick it to the man.
Well, because the ad executives themselves, the ones that are left back at the office, find out just how difficult it is to be honest.
Yeah, they were trying to, like, name shampoo, or trying to make an ad campaign for, like, shampoo or something, weren't they?
Yeah. I don't know. Don't drink it. Use on your hair. They're no good at it, because I guess that's the satire of this movie is, oh, there's no truth in advertising, and these guys just can't be honest no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I think I failed to see the, what's the word? I failed to see the irony in that situation. I thought they were just, you know, yeah, I think I took that scene too much at face value.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we were making some sort of commentary on how executives can't be honest.
Huh, I don't know. That's true.
Yeah. I would say, though, that when Kathy's brother comes and rescues her, that's a gross misuse of federal property, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. They weren't cleared for that.
He said so. Yeah, he said that he was not I'm probably going to get in trouble. No, you're probably going to get fucking court-martialed, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They also had a civilian in there, probably without any kind of authorization, which is a whole nother, like, set of documentation. And then to have the authorization to land on a privately owned piece of land, that's more authorization. They're going to get a fine for that. Man, there's so much.
And now we're overloading a helicopter with people that are not trained to be hanging off the side of a helicopter.
Yes, without any kind of
no
restraint.
Tether. Yeah, no tether, nothing. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't just still have the 50 cal up there, and one of them was, like, gunning the place down as they were taking off.
How can you shoot women and children?
You can't. Yeah.
No, you just don't lead them as much.
Oh boy. Yeah.
This was the prequel to Predator, so they get picked up at the sanitarium, and then they're taken and dropped off in the middle of the Vietnam, or the, what was it, the jungle to fight the Predator?
There we go. I like that story. I like that part, too. Oh, we're going to get crazy up in here.
One ugly motherfucker. So yeah, I mean, now we have, not only is it a love story, it's a rescue story, you know, it's a damsel in distress story,
and all the conspiracy going on, because we got all this, like, you know, underground paying off, you know, all that shit going on.
Yeah. This movie, okay, I gotta say, this movie pays off in dividends so well, because the ad campaigns just stick with you, and something, I guarantee, like with you and the Volvo, like, tagline, it's, I guarantee you, for the next few weeks, and probably even longer, every once in a while, I'm gonna see, like, something that's gonna, like, drudge up one of these ad campaigns, and I'm gonna be like, Sony, Boney.
You're gonna be planning a trip with your wife, and you'll be like, hey, maybe we should fly United.
Yeah. More of their passengers arrive alive.
Yeah, ultimately, it definitely was a funny movie, and the fact that now that I'm in my mid-40s, I understand all the jokes, like the Jaguar one, or...
Well, you messaged me and said you were excited about like talking about this because you said some of it didn't age well. What were you talking about?
Well, I had texted you that after I watched the trailer. And the bit with the invisible volleyball was just shown briefly in the trailer out of context. And so it's just the way that it was going in there. But once you have the context, it's like, oh, it's actually not that bad. Like, I was even fascinated by the fact that when I get to the end of the credits, there is actually something that says that the characters in this film do not depict persons with mental illnesses. Mental illness is a serious disease which affects many millions of people. Paramount Pictures acknowledges the input of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. Like, for me, that kind of stamp of approval, I mean, that's like the Humane Society saying no animals were harmed. I mean, this is, hey, no, we are actually saying that this is all for satirical purposes.
Yeah.
We sign off on this. It's okay for them to do this. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made me feel better about it. But no, I texted you about the, I watched the trailer first and I'm like,
I can
whoa,
see,
this
I can
is going to be
that's
fun.
That's two different, that's two very different, I guess, like reactions, you know, like,
yeah,
but I could totally, yeah. And I thought about that too, because I was wondering, when I was watching it, I was like, okay, I got to look for something because this isn't like Porky's. This isn't like, you know, like Animal House. This isn't like, you know, one of, you know, those movies from the late 80s or early 80s, you know, to, you know, that were as racist, that were homophobic, that were, you know, constantly using, honestly, like, here's the other thing. I didn't even hear the use of a derogatory term towards people with mental illness, like, or any kind of disability.
No, I heard no retard thrown around,
exactly.
Which is like, hey, 1990, are you sure you're paying attention? You're supposed to drop that one in a 1990 movie.
Besides the movie title, like no freaks, no retard, nothing like that was an offensive term that was thrown around. So I was like, okay, this is a pretty heartfelt, pretty like funny movie, you know, that worked.
I'm just trying to think, like, do the bad guys at any point say like those freaks in the mental institution?
I don't think so.
No. No one refers to it as like the loony bin or like,
I mean, I think, yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that was, but I don't remember any kind of like, nothing that's like,
true.
Nothing like jarring or like a jagged attack, you know?
Yeah, where it's like, ooh, yeah, no, there was no, none of that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, and that was my big turnaround on it is this, it looks like it's going to be wildly offensive. I can't wait. And then I watched and went, oh. I
can't wait for the offensiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, pretty, pretty mellow and pretty like, again, having that, and maybe that was something that when they took this movie to, you know, that board, they were like, hey, we're going to treat this one, not necessarily with kid gloves, but we're going to be dignified about this, but still tell a story of like, you know, people with mental health issues. And again, like I said, this movie to me showed that even though, you know, we're all going through some stuff that, you know, again, I was going to back up a little bit to when they had their first therapy session. The doctor said, how can we show like a new person in this group that we care? And, you know, Kathy Burgess said, you know, we can make them feel welcome. We can make them feel like not ashamed for being here. And I think that movie did that. I think this movie was pretty well done in that aspect.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't seem like there was no one walking around saying that they were George Washington. There was, you know, it does seem like it was.
There was another woman there.
That's right. Because she introduced herself as like a colonel or something, didn't
yes.
she? Yeah. Okay. I was wrong.
But still, I mean, who knows? Maybe they cured her the next day and that's why she didn't have to show up to group. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's true. The commercial at the end, though, isn't it a little racist? The Sony, because Caucasians are too damn tall, like all the bit about we're closer to the components, we've got smaller hands, like all of that, like in that commercial.
Okay, I'm gonna say that out of all the things that they could have said about Asians, like that's like to me that is the least. Isn't one of the tallest people in the world Asian?
Maybe. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm just gonna say, like, out of all the things they could have said, that did not strike me as being like overly like racist.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they abduct all the patients at the end and take them away in the helicopter, and I have to ask about this helicopter again, because what about the paperwork? Like, you can't just take all these people out. Like, I know we've got a corrupt administration going on, but...
That's what I was going to say. I thought the same exact thing. I was like, isn't this considered, like, kidnapping?
Yeah. Like, we still have to follow some sort of medical board guidelines, right, when it comes to discharge of a patient?
Or because they know that the hospital administrator is abusing his power, he no longer has the authority to keep them in the hospital.
Hmm. And is he and the other doctor the only two doctors there? Like...
Well, he fired the lady doctor.
Well, that's what I'm saying is before she was fired. Yeah. Were they the only two doctors up in that joint? Now he has to do all the doctoring himself. Got to roll up his sleeve and get his hands dirty with some real head doctoring.
Sounds like it. He's got to rely on the arts and craft teacher now to do everything.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is she a doctor or is she just some...
She's a volunteer. She's
another patient.
Probably. Maybe. Hey, use what you know, right? Use what you got.
Yeah. And then finally, at the very end, like you mentioned, we get like a post-credit moment. I am loving doing this show and finding all these unknown post-credit moments. Like, even though this is just like the magazine cover that shows that these are the new kids on the block when it comes to the advertising game kid, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm impressed to see a little something thrown in at the end.
Yeah. I learned from you, no matter the film, always stay to the very end of the credits. Does not matter the film, because you don't want to miss something.
You never know. Never know. And Colin has never taken that advice from me. Too often, he still misses something at the very end.
Damn it, Colin.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Crazy People. Now, Aaron, on IMDb, it scored a 6.0 out of 10, has a Metascore of 42. Ugh. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 35% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 62%. But, Aaron, those are just numbers. Like running over a bunch of Caucasians, hit us with some reviews.
So, I don't necessarily... I mean, I feel... Like, I am generally pretty normal when it comes to my reviewing of things or to my, like, how I take things, whether it's, you know, low ratings or high ratings. But it seems like this one is very, very, what's
divisive?
The word? Like, divisive with the fans, you know? We get 5 stars. We got Rafe D, who says, brilliant. If you didn't get the movie, that's exactly why it was made. Hello? You got McLean K, who says, I rewatched this little-known film for the first time since the early 90s. I remember enjoying it back then, but didn't know if it would hold up. It does. Originally, John Malkovich and, like you said, Michelle Pfeiffer were cast in the leads, but as weird as the pairing is, Dudley Moore and Daryl Hannah work better. Moore mm-hmm. has considerably better comedic delivery, and Hannah brings a sweetness to the role. Steve D gave it 1 star and said, far better in theory than execution. You know, if I go to some of these more, like... You know, the top critics, and I look at what they say. Bob Thomas from the Associated Press said, he says, fresh. Moore is the one who keeps the champagne bubbling. He is in top form, a delightfully demented leprechaun, which that is more offensive than this movie is, in my opinion.
Well, and obviously, you know, you have to throw in a reference to the only other Dudley Moore film that people really think of by bringing in that champagne reference, because that's from Arthur. Yeah.
Roger Ebert said that basically says it's rotten. He said, I wonder if they have a squad out in Hollywood named the Movie Police who swoop down on screenplays and enforce all the obligatory cliches and story formulas. Okay.
Okay, formulaic, whatever. There's a reason formulaic works. I mean, when everybody says that every AC/DC song sounds alike, yeah, that's because they know what works and they stick with it.
Exactly. Oh, you don't like what's it called? Oh my God, they made fun of in Deadpool 2. The type
Nickelback.
Of music. No, well, no, I was gonna say. Skrillex, what is he? Dubstep, right?
Oh, dubstep, yeah.
Dubstep never dies or some shit. You know,
it's Ska like, never dies, man.
All it all sounds like robots, like Transformers, fucking. So, like, it's you know, it's gonna be it's timeless. Not so. La Platypus on IMDb gave this movie a 1 out of 10 stars. It's okay. not enough crazy. I'm not sure. Not enough crazy. But says this film analyzes the creative impulse for advertising and finds it in an asylum. Don't worry, it is not a psychological study, but a comedy. The only problem is that I don't laugh often. Maybe with the tagline of the ads, the performance of David Hello Paymer. So that's actually the only that's on IMDb. That is the only 1-star rating. It is basically gibberish.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
You know, but there are plenty of 10-star reviews, plenty of them. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, like, I'll read one more 10-star and that's where I'll leave it. But
okay.
I think that right there kind of surmises that there's a few people out there that just don't really understand it. They take this too much at face value. But I think there's much more to this movie than just like making fun of people with mental health, because that's not at all what this movie does.
Not even a little. And you know? That's where the tagline on the poster kind of misled people a bit, I think. You know, you have the egg that's cracking and everything like that. Like, they lean too much into the crazy people aspect of it, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so,
with their advertising, ironically, the advertising campaign may have hurt this movie.
Exactly. Dr. Movie Critic DeBest said, this is from February 2016, he gave it 10 out of 10, and his title of this review was, Hello, you should watch it everywhere you go. This movie is incredibly funny when the hello song is verbalized, and it's never done enough times for me. I like the plot and all the characters. It is quite emotional and extremely funny. I believe, unlike most people who have not seen it or have no sense of humor or emotion, this movie should be rated as a classic comedy. However, it is not shown more than once a decade in all of the 129 movie channels I am able to view. I love this movie. Hello. I will see this whenever I can. Hello. I will love it wherever I go. If you miss the movie tomorrow, you won't see it again for nearly a decade. Oh, well, just run it and watch it, and you will be delighted. Well, Dr. Movie Critic DeBest, I agree with you. I wouldn't give it necessarily 10 out of 10, because I think I agree with Sean saying that we don't necessarily need the love story, but it is a good movie. I think I would give it probably like a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah. There we go. I think that's what the guy was saying in his last review. Yeah. he wanted little musical notes underneath that. He wanted to make that a living meme or a musical meme.
Hello.
Right on. So, yeah, you already kind of gave a final score, but why don't you just continue on with your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think this movie is really well done. I think it's done in a way, like we've talked about quite a bit, that to where it's funny and it's endearing and it's not like offensive. It's not written in a way that's offensive to people with mental health. I think it handled the topic of mental health well for its age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's not like a serious movie like Girl Interrupted or some of these other movies that we get
in the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, some of these more like relevant, you know, again, A Beautiful Mind, things, you know, those are dramatic, like tough looks at like mental health and some serious disorders and issues, where this one was more of like a comedic approach to more of commentary on not seeing the world through such like through filters, and maybe, you know, maybe taking some time out from reality will let you be more real with the world and how you see things, other than just putting a lens on it, because that's what advertisers do.
Yeah.
They just put a lens over everything. Everything looks perfect. Because when you look at that, again, when you see that cheeseburger on TV and it looks beautiful and the bun is plump and the tomato is fresh and the cheese is melty, I guarantee you, you'll never see a burger like that in reality.
It's smoke and mirrors. It's all painted. It's all like, you know, some of it's not even food.
Exactly. And so I think that this movie really took us on an adventure that was funny and endearing without doing what a lot of people probably anticipated, and that was being like offensive at the expense of people with mental health. And again, for its age, for its time frame, for its era, I think it did it really well. It did it really well.
Yeah. I mean, you already mentioned it because I had mentioned it earlier, but yeah, the love story, not necessarily needed, but I don't hate it for existing. It made for a few awkward moments, but maybe that's to show what that character actually is like, right? Like, you know, it's possible that Kathy is just got these weird attachment things. So that could be part of it, but I don't think they had to fall in love. But either way, yeah, I think the biggest thing I can say about this is that I was surprised, because I was expecting this to be one of those ones that is like, okay, here we go. Let's get ready to say some things. I mean, you know, I was even misled by the trailer. Again, they may have advertised this movie poorly, focused on the wrong things, because... Mm-hmm. It's very funny. There's a lot of great sight gags. There's a lot of subtle humor. I think everyone performs their parts well. I like the fact that we've got a bit of a conspiracy story going on at the same time as this commentary on society story. Like, there's a lot of layers to this ogre to unpeel. I mean, it's surprisingly complex, but... Like, you know, it's as you've said, people take it at face value, but there's a lot more to this. And I'm impressed that 1990 actually handled this surprisingly delicate. Like, it just, impressed me. It's or surprised me. I don't even know which adjective to use. Like, there's, but I'm up there with you. Like, I like a 7 on this movie. 7 or 8 out of 10, you know, like it made me laugh, and that's all I want out of a comedy.
Absolutely. I think that was the most kind of, again, I didn't go into this movie expecting a lot because I hadn't heard a whole lot about it, you know, at least, you know, being that it's 33 years old now, almost 34. Like, I didn't expect a lot of out of it, but the fact that this movie, like, again, was heartfelt, it was good. I had some very laugh out loud moments. So I, you know, again, a positive rating from me, and it sounds like a positive rating from you as well.
Yeah. It'll freak you the fuck out for the rest of your life.
It'll fuck you up.
That's what it is. Shit. Ah. See, I just can't stick any of the quotes from this movie properly in my brain. I screwed up the fact that the movie is the freak. With the actual tagline, it will fuck you up for the rest of your life. Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Crazy People, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, tell people, share our posts. Word of mouth is really important, or go over to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on and give us some stars. We like 5 of them. That's even better than 0. Yeah. Give us as many stars as you can on whatever app. Or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show, go to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, and then you become an executive producer, so you get a shout out like executive producer Joshua Blum. If you have any suggestions for the show, or any movies that you want us to talk about, email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. And go over to our website, find out where all our social medias are. We're out there. We're on everything, even Blue Sky, even though I've got like 3 followers on Blue Sky. Yeah. Aaron, thank you for joining us. As always, substitute co-host, where can people find you doing your other shit?
You can find me on the Oblivion Bar podcast or on my socials, which is at Better Actions, pretty much across all of them except for Instagram, because somebody with at Better Actions on Instagram will not give it up. They've never posted on it. So mine has to be Better Actions TTV, because I don't know what else to put there, but it doesn't matter. Point is, you can find me at Better Actions just about anywhere. And yeah, check me out on my normal podcast, which is the Oblivion Bar podcast, which is just, you know, not just movies, it's games, but it's, you know, it's
comics.
Come here for the movies, go there for the nerd shit, you know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, go there for Aaron.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, the unsung hero, you know, like Chris has my job on your show, but Aaron is the special sauce to the show. I mean, you know, you go there for Aaron and Chris, but you know, especially Aaron. You know, like,
yeah, I've got the face for radio, but I got the personality for really nothing. But anyways, I love doing this, so. I'm also this month participating in a new challenge for a company called Respawn Products. You guys can find me on my personal social medias at Better Actions on Twitter, at Better Actions TTV on Instagram. And lastly, I'm doing some brand management work for some small creators, and that can be found at BA Management for You on Twitter.
And Shred the Stress, you want to shout that out?
Yes. Actually, so unknown thing right now, I'll tell you, is that, you know, I'm in the process of transitioning Shred the Stress to New York. So I got to do some paperwork, but it's starting to warm up here. You know, I'm moved in. Started looking for a house, a little official headquarters for Shred the Stress up here in New York.
Nice.
I'll keep you in the loop on that one. It's been a process already. We're barely a month in, actually. So we're looking. We're doing our job up here.
Nice. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Aaron, March Madness.
March Madness.
Madness, madness, madness. I still love that it has nothing to do with basketball. Here we are recording on Super Bowl Sunday because we both said fuck Super Bowl. So March Madness, nothing to do with are you actually a March Madness watcher? Do you get into basketball? Do you do any fantasy sports at all?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
See, I am.
I mean, oh, good.
I am a hockey watcher, but only for my hometown team. Like, really, outside of that, you know, once my team's eliminated from the playoffs, I'm not watching till the Stanley Cup. I barely know who has won in the last 20 years. So,
yeah, I'm not really a sports fan. I will say this: like, I'm slowly last couple weeks I've been getting back into Rocket League. I don't know if you've ever played Rocket League. It's a
that sounds like Quidditch.
It sounds like a fucking nerd sport. Rocket League is an e-sport. It's like I call it soccer with RC cars, and you basically.
Oh yeah, I saw your posts on that. Yeah. I love that shit.
So I'm like, I've been getting into it like pretty heavily, and I'm not too bad in it. So like I'm still practicing. I'm getting better, and I plan on trying to maybe like do some tournaments if some pop up. So I'll keep you in the loop on that as well. But that's right now the only sport, quote unquote, sport that I'm into right now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. My friend of the show, David Sun, he's been on our Mortal Kombat episodes because he was ranked number 2 in the world for Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's this theater kid, right? Yeah. it's so unexpected, but he's like, he fucking kicks ass at Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Well, like last year, you know, then they had the Final Fantasy, the First Soldier. It was like a what do you call them? Like those battle royale games, you know? It was only mobile. So Square Enix came out with this official like Final Fantasy VII, like you know, battle arena game called The First Soldier, and it was amazing. And I had like the highest KDR.
Yeah.
Like in the world.
Yeah.
At one point. And like, you know, I was trying to play in some tournaments, but the problem was that it was so badly supported. Like with less than a year, they ended up like shuttering the game because it was like, it just, they didn't want to put any more money into it. And like, I was so good at that game. Like I was like,
it's always the way.
Yeah, I was like, this is it. This is my game. Like, I love this game. Like, I, but then they shut it down. I'm like, well, that sucks. Yeah. You know?
And there you go. That's just a taste of the nerd shit you can get over on the Oblivion yeah. bar. So back to, I used to like this one. Here we go. Next week, we're going, I think we're going to go with another newer one. I think we're going to leave the one that I worry is most problematic till the end. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. So I think next week, let's go back to our memento world here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do Fight Club.
Yes. Yes. Which we'll talk about this next time. I had no idea that Jared Leto was in Fight Club.
Oh shit. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I mean,
I have no idea.
Norton Pitt and Meatloaf steal all the thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bonham Carter.
His angel face, you know?
Fuck. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going with another person losing their mind or whatever movie. Yeah, I'm excited about it just because I shouldn't need a reason to watch Fight Club, but fuck, exactly. It's just been too long since I've watched Fight Club.
Put on some Pixies, you know, grease up your knuckles and your under eye bags and,
yeah.
you know, let's get ready to rumble.
Get some cigarette burns happening on your film screen and buy your furniture from IKEA while your plane gets sucked out the side because it's going down. Those are glimpses of things I remember. Get your soap. Yeah.
Yes. Your briefcase full of soap.
Your briefcase full of soap. Oh boy, I can't wait. It's been too long. It really has been too long.
Yes.
So there we go. Until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
And I'm Aaron Knowles.
And we'll see you for Fight Club.
Yes.
Oh, wait. On. Shit. We can't talk about Fight Club.
Why not?
Because we can't talk about Fight Club.
Oh.
See you next time on I Used to Like This One.
Fucking got me on that one. You got me good.
You got
me. Were you planning that one?
No, it just came to me in the moment.
That was so good. Well done.